Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are we doing?
Oh, good morning. Congratulations.
Oh, what are we being congratulated for?
Another week of appointment programming at 8 o'clock on Monday.
Yes. Hook, line, and sinker. You got
well
me.
Worth it.
That was good stuff. Corey, a wild weekend of wild card football, specifically in the Chargers-Jacksonville game. What did you make of that one on Saturday night with Trevor Lawrence and company getting it done in the second half?
I'm not going to kid. This is the God's to honest truth. The moment the Chargers settled for that field goal to go up 27-0, I said they're going to lose. They are going to blow this game.
Did you tweet it?
No, I didn't tweet it. I stayed off of Twitter. I'm kind of Twittered out after the last couple of weeks. But I was just like, they are going to blow this game. They needed to score a touchdown there. Because, number one, these are the Chargers, okay?
Yeah.
This is kind of what they do. But when you let teams – I mean, he'd thrown four interceptions, and it was 27-0, and there was tons of time left. And I was just like, they're not being aggressive enough. And I'm just like, they're gonna lose. They're gonna lose. And I just watched that whole game, and I'm just like, yep. And I mean, it wasn't even. I was like Al Michaels. I was bored because it wasn't even exciting to me. It was anticlimactic to me. You have to say the better team won, right? Because the team got out turnovered 5-0 and still won the game.
Yeah.
So the other team clearly wasn't good enough. So congratulations to the Jags, you know, who finally figured out if you pick in the top five for a decade and actually hire an adult to be the head coach, you can win some games.
Do you think they have a chance in Kansas City?
Sure. I mean, look, everybody's got a chance. Did you think the Bills had a chance in Buffalo? And they did. Did you think the Ravens had a chance rolling out Joe Schmo and Mickey and Mo at quarterback last night, and they had a chance? I mean, you're at that time of the year where most of these teams are playing pretty well, regardless of who they're rolling out there. And sure, they've got a chance. Does that mean I'm going to pick them? No. But am I going to be stunned if they win? No, I'm not. I mean, they just... You know, and you know, as good as the Chiefs are, they're not the Cheetah Chiefs that they were.
Yeah, no question. So, Corey, we discussed this earlier. Report coming out yesterday from Jeremy Fowler that the Titans have requested permission to interview Eric Bieniemy and Matt Nagy for their offensive coordinator positions. And Josina Anderson later coming out that says Bieniemy's still focused on head coaching jobs, and Nagy has not responded to the request yet. But regardless of whether or not one of those two guys ends up being the next OC, what does that signal to you that Vrabel and the Titans are at least asking for permission to interview two guys that, number one, are with the Chiefs, but number two, are in a system that right now they just don't run offensively?
Well, I think it's interesting because, you know, everything Vrabel has done in the past has been so internal. And now he's got to interview people from outside. But the fact that he's asking two guys from the same team, I think is interesting. And it's, you know, it's a good team to ask. They score a ton of points, and they scored points, you know, before Mahomes got there, because it's, you know, it's the Andy Reid, you know, system. And so I think that that's interesting that they might be willing to say, hey, you know, we might need to start looking at doing things a little bit different way. I mean, I've always been a fan of trying to hire people from, you know, I'm always about rewarding people from within the organization because I'm a huge believer that you have to recognize good talent and elevate it. And that's just not a football field. That's in life. That doesn't matter. That doesn't where you are. If you have that person, you need to elevate those people. But I also think you need to look outside your organization to bring in different views and different, you know, ways of doing things. And, you know, I think that it could certainly help, you know, the Titans to have some different ideas on how to do things. And having two guys from one team, you know, I think there's a signal of that. So that's interesting. And I also don't think that they've got that guy on their staff that they're automatically just going to point to.
Well, I still think I'm still making Tim Kelly the favorite to get the job. But
oh yeah, but, you know, I forget about him. Yes, yeah, Tim Kelly's the favorite, no question. I meant position coaches.
But yeah, right. There's no elevation. Likely. But well, I'm with you, Corey. On two guys, I think it's really interesting. I also think of that specific, because I agree with everything you said about, you know, getting fresh ideas, and I think it's a good way to go about this. But I think about that, and I think about that particular offense, and then I think about Derrick Henry in that offense, and man, it doesn't really fit based on what we've seen, right, from the Chiefs. But what do you think about that? I mean, could this possibly signal some serious personnel changes if they're actually considering this?
Well, I think Andy Reid has run the football in the past. He's had good runners in the past. He's got Pat Mahomes now, okay? I mean, it makes sense to put the game in his hands. So I don't think that means you have to abandon Derrick Henry, but Henry's going to be 30. And so, you know, even if you do have a couple of years left with him, it probably wouldn't hurt you to become less dependent on him. To get more out of the weapons that you got at other spots. I mean, because the Chiefs, you know, last I saw, they've done a good job of getting production out of the tight end position. You know, I know they've got a generational player there, but they emphasize getting him the ball. And it seems like whoever they roll out at their at wide receiver, they find ways to make plays. I think finding ways to get, you know, different ideas in your offense to make it happen. And not to see that the Titans can't watch the game film and say, well, this is what they're doing. Because, I mean, these guys are a heck of a lot smarter than I am. But, you know, to have guys who actually run it. And, I guess the question I always have about Bieniemy, is he calling the plays? Or is it still Andy Reid?
I think it's Andy Reid,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's, you know, the case for coming somewhere else.
Yeah, and it's not like Matt Nagy, you know, tore it up in Chicago. You know, he had a good year or two. But, you know, after that, you know, and he also had Mitch Trubisky, but, you know, you can debate how much he had to do with that. But, yeah, so, you know, does that mean that these guys are automatic hires? No, but I think it does signal, you know, a willingness to look outside.
Corey Curtis with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Corey, it's that time of the year again. Ian Rappaport got on the NFL Network yesterday and started throwing around the names of different teams that could be interested in Tom Brady this offseason when he becomes a free agent. And the teams he listed were obviously the Buccaneers, the 49ers, the Raiders, and the Tennessee Titans. You ready for another offseason of Brady watch? And in all seriousness, do you think the Titans should be interested in Tom Brady?
Well, sure. I mean, greatest quarterback of all time. So, you know, why wouldn't you be? I do think we saw a bit of a decline in his production, you know, this year. You know, he missed people in games that he normally doesn't miss. You know, I think he and the Bucs started to play better some towards the end of the season. And part of that was because, you know, the Bucs suffered what 3/4 of the league suffered from this year, and that was terrible offensive line play. And, you know, Brady has been a guy who has been able to elevate teams in the past, you know, because he demands more. You know, everybody likes to, you know, talk about his tantrums and everything. He expects more from everyone. He demands more from everyone, and he's not shy about doing it. With the Titans' offensive line, I don't know how realistic it is to have a statue back there, you know, unless you can get that thing totally rebuilt in a year. And, you know, I don't know, you know, how long is the commitment? Is he going to play till he's 50? You know, because I have a hard time with where the Titans are at as opposed to a year or two ago. I have a hard time saying, yeah, we'll do Tom for a year or two. And so I have a hard time with that. You know, I think there's questions to be had with Tannehill and what you want to do moving forward. But I think those solutions are narrower than that, in my opinion. But, you know, we know how Vrabel is with, you know, people he knows, you know, people he trusts. So I think it has to be on the table.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, Great stuff as always. Interested to see if we're on Brady watch all off season.
Oh yes, I don't want to be on Aaron Rodgers watch.
I don't think you're going to worry about that.
If he built a house on Cedar Hill Lake to go with his one in Franklin, I'm going to be really upset.
Could be a tough time.
It's a nice short commute
for you.
Corey. And by the way, also not very good this year.
Yeah,
so
he was not. No question about that. Corey, thanks for taking time to be with us. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, later, boys.
All right, Corey Curtis. Appointment listening every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on this program. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Thanks to Corey Curtis for joining us in the last segment. And, Joe, as we talked about earlier in the show, an interesting report yesterday from Jeremy Fowler as it relates to the Tennessee Titans coming from ESPN. And Jeremy Fowler put it out there yesterday morning that the Tennessee Titans have requested permission to interview Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy and senior assistant / quarterbacks coach Matt Nagy for their open offensive coordinator job, per sources. So Fowler putting that out there yesterday. And then Josina Anderson, about 2 hours after Fowler put that out there, said that according to her sources, Eric Bieniemy still focused on the head coaching job search that is out there, and that Nagy has not yet responded to the Titans' request, but also pointed out there that interest was established over a week ago by the Titans, and that that was what her sources were telling her. So, I mean, I'm just saying. I did some math on that, and I was like, over a week ago. Over a week ago from Sunday was last Saturday when the Titans played against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, I will – okay. If you want to get technical about this, so when exactly did Josina Anderson's tweet go out?
It was Sunday, yesterday morning at 10:18.
So it is possible that like it was Sunday morning at 10:17.
Sure,
I guess
just over a week ago is what she said.
Yeah, like when you think of over, I mean it is good sleuthing on your part.
Before Todd Downing got fired, I know that.
That is for sure.
That's for sure.
Yeah,
and like, before the press conference.
And before the press conference.
Yeah. Yeah. So already out there, maybe it was just like Amy Adams Strunk out reaching out to people before telling Vrabel he had to fire his OC. I mean, I don't know.
Halftime of the Jags game. Can I get on the phone with Mr. Bieniemy, please?
Yeah, get me on the line with some of these Chiefs OCs, okay? Yeah, that's interesting, right? Over a week ago.
That's what the phrasing says.
Mm-hmm. But apparently, at least it's been some time, and so you got Bieniemy or someone, you know, close to Bieniemy, maybe an agent, putting out there, you know, what sounds like a lack of interest, and then Nagy's just sort of ghosting the Titans, I guess.
I guess so.
Oh, shoot, I missed this, guys. I'm so sorry. I suck at that.
Official term is Nagy has yet to confirm Tennessee's request, per league source.
I'm so bad about returning texts. I'm so sorry, guys. You know, this happens all the time. Don't take offense to it.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not interested. Okay, thanks. Yeah, I don't know. What does that mean? I mean, the Titans have been, so you got at least one GM candidate who's turned down the interview. And, I mean, everybody should want to live in Nashville, right? I mean, everybody's moving here.
You would think.
The Titans are, I don't know, some people are a little hesitant to get into the Titans situation.
Well, from the Bieniemy standpoint, one of the first things that we saw yesterday when these reports came out, a lot of Titans fans responded to it. Obviously, a lot of Chiefs fans responded to it, too. And one of the things we saw, especially from the Chiefs contingent, was, well, why would he leave being the offensive coordinator in Kansas City to take a lateral move and be an offensive coordinator with the Titans? Now, as has been pointed out several times since then, it's not really a lateral move because right now he's not calling plays, and he would be calling plays, you would presume, here with the Titans. So it is it's a different role from the standpoint of you're in charge of the play calling. And we know that Eric Bieniemy has been through several interviews. He's going through interviews right now. He just interviewed with the Colts the other day for their head coaching position. Maybe he becomes a head coach this offseason. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But this is not a new process for him. He's been through it the last couple of off seasons, interviewing for head coaching jobs. Does he ultimately determine, let's say that they get through this process here and he's not a head coach yet again, Does he ultimately determine that the best path to him being a head coach in the league is to stay where he is and continue to wait and continue to bide his time with Kansas City, and ultimately he gets the head coaching job? Or is it going somewhere else, maybe having a little bit more responsibility thrown on your plate from a play-calling standpoint, and getting a chance to prove yourself that way? I don't know what the right answer is. I just wonder if he goes through yet another round here and doesn't end up landing a head coaching job, would he consider maybe changing his spot and taking on more of a role with the Titans or somebody else with calling plays?
I mean, Matt LaFleur was the Rams OC, made a lateral move right after they hired Vrabel. The Titans hired LaFleur. So, because with Sean McVay, he's calling the plays. So you're not going to be calling the plays. So people have no idea what you are as a play caller. So he came here, he had a decent year, 2018 as OC. He was okay.
Yeah.
He was fine. I didn't think it was terrible. I mean, you know, the Derrick Henry stuff is way overblown by some people. In terms of relying on Derrick Henry, that was Derrick Henry had to get better, and he did. And then they eventually started going to him heavily, and it worked out pretty well for him. But 1 year of being okay got him the head coaching job with the Packers.
Yep.
So does he get the head coaching job with the Packers by being Sean McVay's OC who doesn't call plays? I have my doubts.
I do too.
So that's the case for it. Now, the case against it, other than, yeah, like, you should get a head coaching job, and maybe he will, but the other case against it, if you don't, is, yes, you come here with more responsibility, but you come to a place with no offensive line, no receivers, and, you know, a soon-to-be 30-year-old great running back and a pretty good quarterback. So
right.
Are you going to elevate yourself with that group? Yeah, and of course the Titans are going to try to fix a lot of that this offseason, but then you're like, okay, and who is their GM, and does their GM, you know, make the calls? I mean, I guess, you know that Vrabel is going to have a very strong say, which could be a good thing, but there are a lot of questions for any OC looking at this job.
Well, the more interesting part of this to me, beyond whether or not Bieniemy or Nagy end up taking the job, is how serious are the Titans about looking at these two, not only from bringing them over, but just the scheme that they would bring with them. Like, does this signal that the Titans are looking to change the way that they run their offense? Is this a signal that the Titans are looking around and saying, you know what, we've tried to do this a certain way for a while, and we feel like we need to change things up? That's the more interesting part of this to me, is what does this mean from the Titans standpoint, regardless of whether or not Bieniemy or Nagy are hired to be the offensive coordinator? Is this maybe a sign that Vrabel and the Titans are looking to change things up with the way they do things offensively?
Yeah. I mean, it at least signals a willingness to consider it. If you're talking about two people from a very different system. And, you know, we talked to Corey Curtis last segment about the Derrick Henry aspect of that. And he's right, of course. That offense still has a running back. Kareem Hunt, actually, in the year the Titans beat them in the playoffs, which was Alex Smith at quarterback, and before they became this machine that they've become, Kareem Hunt had a huge year running the football with the Chiefs in 2017. I want to say he had, you know, he was like well over 1,000 yards for sure that year. But when I watch that offense, I see the way they run it, a need for a back who is out a lot running routes in tandem with running the ball. So
yep.
it doesn't seem like a quote-unquote Derrick Henry kind of offense. Doesn't mean he couldn't work, and he could work in any scheme. I think the idea of less reliance on him, whatever you do, whether it's this or you're staying with the West Coast, the new West Coast, or whatever you do, I think less reliance on him does make sense.
There is one part of this, though, and a texter brings this up on the text line. It's a good point. Just about, we've talked about Vrabel and the loyalty comments that he's talked about in terms of, you know, you don't want people looking around for another job, all this other stuff. Like, it's pretty clear Eric Bieniemy wants to be a head coach. Not that there's anything wrong with that. He should want to be a head coach. But, you know, as a texter points out, you know, what if he comes in, he does a good job, and then a year later, he's off being a head coach somewhere, and you got to go hire another offensive coordinator? Is that something you want to do if you're the Titans? My answer to that would be, yeah, just go find the guy that you think gives your offense the best chance to be successful. And if he gets hired away as a head coach, you can worry about that later.
Yeah. My answer to that is welcome to the NFL. If you right now, the way the league is, there are still some, you know, defensive coaches who get head coaching jobs. Vrabel got one. But this league is so heavily skewed toward the offensive minds that if you have an OC in this league with success, with significant success, there are going to be five teams trying to hire that person away to be the head coach immediately. Like, you just have to deal with it. And what you hope is, if you hire someone who, you know, if you're changing the offense or the same offense, whatever it is, but you have a good foundation of, you know, good offense, then you can plug in. You plugged in Arthur Smith, it worked out great when you lost Matt LaFleur. You plugged in Todd Downing, didn't work out great. Some bad luck for him too, but didn't work out great. I think you can't worry about that, bottom line. Like, you have to just try to get the best person, and that 1 year of great offensive coordination could be a great year.
We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. What do you make of the report that the Titans are interested in Eric Bieniemy and Matt Nagy, at least interviewing them to be the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get more into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. I got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Predators take on the New Jersey Devils at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, January the 26th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the New Jersey Devils at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Thursday, January 26th. 615-737-1025. 1025. Talking Titans and their offensive coordinator search. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. So it's interesting to me. We'll see what comes of the Bieniemy / Nagy situation. One thing that you brought up earlier that I do think is important to point out, and I saw this from some Titans fans yesterday, and I get it, especially when it comes to Nagy. Do you see that guy in Chicago? Wasn't very good. Not a very good head football coach, which is fine. I get that. That doesn't necessarily mean that he couldn't be a good offensive coordinator for you. It's not the same job.
Right. There's plenty of good coordinators out there, good on either side of the ball, sometimes really good, who then fail as head coaches, but it doesn't change what they were as the OC, you know? It's like it's kind of like the opposite of the unknown is undefeated sometimes, you know? It's like when you see someone do that job and they're not good at it, it doesn't erase what they did to earn that job. So I would not just dismiss Matt Nagy as some – I mean, he sort of has the same – it's the same knock as Bieniemy. It's like, well, really, it's Andy Reid, you know. But, I don't know, they both obviously had a significant hand in a lot of really good things going on with that offense.
Well, and look, we've seen coordinators before go off to be bad head coaches. I mean – Packers might rehire Nathaniel Hackett this offseason. Could be very interesting up there.
Would you be excited about that?
No.
No?
Have you guys heard?
He won't be managing the clock.
I was going to say, have you guys heard the Matt Nagy, Patrick Mahomes story? When Patrick Mahomes went on, I think it was Travis Kelce's brother's podcast.
Yeah.
He said that before he went to go visit the Chiefs, that Matt Nagy thought that he was an absolute superstar, so he gave him all the answers. So then when he met Andy Reid, Andy Reid was like, oh my God, this guy is a genius.
I did hear this.
Really?
So then he drafted him. Then he drafted him. Patrick Mahomes was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble telling this story right now, but he told it on the podcast.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Vrabel?
Shout out to Nagy.
Are you willing to bring in a guy
meanwhile,
who might fool you, Vrabel?
Meanwhile, Nagy had to go to be the head coach of the Bears.
Yeah, and
with
he
Mitch Trubisky as the quarterback. Yeah,
he did get head coach or NFL coach of the year that 1 year. And then it just... Burp.
Double doink.
But for Titans fans who are, you know, think that he can't be good, he obviously has made good moves, but everybody knows him as, you know, failing as the head coach in Chicago.
Yeah, and I mean, it's honestly, to me, it's somewhat like when people want to blame... I mean, again, like Jim Caldwell not being a head coach since the Lions tenure is astounding to me. I know he just interviewed with somebody else, but like if you do anything good with the Lions, you should be commended. I say same thing with the Bears. Like don't blame someone for failing with a failing franchise. Like, you know, give them some respect. It's not quite the same level as the Lions, but similar.
What do you make of the – we played this earlier from Ian Rappaport, but the report that he had yesterday on the NFL Network that of teams that could be interested in Tom Brady this offseason, should he reach free agency, obviously the Bucs want him back. He said the 49ers could be interested, the Raiders, and the Tennessee Titans. Are you ready for another offseason of Brady Watch here in Nashville?
I'm assuming starting at 2 o'clock today on this station, it will be nothing but this. It'll probably be like even like slowing down. It'll be like playing Rappaport every open, but it'll slow down like, Tom Brady, Tennessee Titans. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't wait. I mean, we may as well. May as well just get it started right now.
Why not?
Yeah. Hey, it's worth thinking about, worth talking about. Worth looking at the Titans, and you have said it earlier on the show, and I think you nailed it, which is like Tom Brady's not picking the Tennessee Titans. At this stage of his career, he needs to go to a ready-made championship team. I don't see how you could look. I mean, again, this is a pre-draft decision, right?
Yep.
You look at the Titans and be like, I think that's – after this year of having terrible protection and just being on my back all the time and never being comfortable in the pocket and still playing pretty well, I think I want to go to Tennessee.
Right. Like it just – it doesn't make a whole lot of sense from his standpoint. Now, the one thing I will say is that Brady, as we know, he's pretty good at getting people to come along with him. Like he can get people to come play with him. The problem with that is like – the free agent, and we talked about this, the free agent crop at wide receiver this year, it's not that great. I mean, I guess you could really go for it and make a trade for DeAndre Hopkins and then go get Brady and hope Treylon Burks is the next guy and all that stuff, but all that seems to be a little bit far-fetched to me. Like, if let's take what Rappaport said as teams that are interested. Like, if you're the Raiders, you've got Davante Adams, you've got, for the moment, Josh Jacobs, we'll see if they pay him. You've got Waller in there. You've got Renfro. Like, that offense is way more ready-made to be a good offense, in my opinion, than what the Titans are trotting out there right now.
Now, when Vrabel FaceTimes, let me say, yeah, man, but look at the Raiders' D. We got a D, Tom.
Could be that.
What about our defense?
Well, and there's one.
You only have to score 24, 25 points.
The 49ers, like, to me, if the 49ers are interested in him, I don't know why you wouldn't go there.
Like right back
it's
home.
Right back home. You got a team that's really good around you. I know. Look, they've got Lance, and now Purdy is. I mean, heck, they could win a Super Bowl, Brock Purdy this year. So maybe the Niners won't be interested. I don't know. I'm just saying, if they are, that would make a whole lot of sense from his standpoint, in my mind.
Yeah. Oh, it's a gimme. It's a slam dunk. But their situation is. I mean, what if they do? Like, if you win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. I know a lot of people will just say, yeah, okay, anyone, plug anyone in there. First of all, it's a great argument against the people who think you only can win a Super Bowl with the elite quarterback. It's not true. It would be another example of that. But, like, how do you move off Brock Purdy if you win a Super Bowl with him?
I don't know.
Brock Purdy.
I guess for Brady, but.
If you're watching the Niners, yeah, I guess. But if you're watching the Niners, I mean, it's not like Brock Purdy's just a passenger here.
He's playing well.
Yeah.
Playing
he really
well.
Is.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see. I mean, look, I think a lot of people just, like, dismiss the idea of him coming back to Tampa Bay. And we'll how much does tonight – I mean, that's the thing. They haven't lost yet. They got to go play a playoff game tonight. Yeah. How much does tonight –
Brady wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah, how much does tonight play into his decision? I don't know. He'll be 46 in August. I mean, his age is – I mean, at some point, it's going to be a factor. Maybe it's already getting to the point where it's a factor. But, I mean, he did throw for 4,700 yards this year, and 67% of his passes he completed. I mean, he's still pretty darn good out there.
Yeah, look, 3 years ago, the way Tannehill played, what they had found in that 2019 season, and the way Brady looked like he was winding down, which yep. He should have been at that age. You know, we didn't know what was about to happen with Tampa Bay and everything. I thought Tannehill was absolutely the right choice, and the Titans did too, and they went with Tannehill, and it's worked out. I mean, it's been a good contract, a good signing. He's one of the top two quarterbacks in the history of the Tennessee Titans, but I guess if you could go back in time, probably make a different decision, right?
Yeah.
So now, if you had another chance right now, I mean, I can't argue that you shouldn't do it. I just don't think it's going to be a serious consideration on his part. I really don't.
What I would like to know, like, is Ian Rappaport, is he getting that from somewhere? Like, is somebody within the Titans saying that they're going to be interested in Tom Brady if he reaches free agency? Or is it just him like, oh, well, the Titans may need a quarterback, and Mike Vrabel used to play with him, so who knows? Maybe it's Tom Brady.
Well, yeah, mute. What was the exact wording again? Do we have the audio of that again, the Rappaport? Well, we may as well get it warmed up because it's about to be it's about to be humming through these airwaves.
It is about to be humming.
Brady.
There's no. The more we can get your slow motion talking, I think the better off we're all be.
Yeah, yeah. It's more. Oh, here we go.
Here was the audio from Ian Rappaport on the NFL Network yesterday discussing Tom Brady and the potential interest for the Tennessee Titans.
Meanwhile, on the other team playing in the Monday night game, Tom Brady is a free agent after the season, going to be 46 years old. And yeah, there is, I would say, a chance that he does not return to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, despite the fact that they very much want him back and plan to make efforts toward that. Among the teams that would consider Brady, a couple of them considered Brady last time. The Tennessee Titans still have some quarterback questions there. The 49ers, if they do not decide to roll with Brock Purdy, although he's certainly stating his case. And then the Las Vegas Raiders, who have several of his old friends, including Rich, Josh McDaniels.
So would consider Brady.
I mean, it sounds like there's something to that, you know. But again, like, if that's what you have, yeah, we'd consider it. I mean, again, it's like, yeah, I mean, I'd consider a ham sandwich, or I might go with a Caesar salad, you know. I mean, would consider is a pretty open-ended thing.
It is.
I listened to it, though, and I'd be disappointed in Rappaport if it was purely off the top of his head, just, yeah, I'll throw out the Titans. That kind of makes sense, right?
I would be, too.
I'd be disappointed if that wasn't based on him getting information from somebody. Now, sometimes it's like the agent of a player says, I think this team would like my guy, and it's not the team that tells you that.
Right.
And you shouldn't say it the way he said it if that's the case. I have no idea. I'm just saying that does happen sometimes. Agents push these conversations by far more than anybody else.
Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena taking on the Calgary Flames. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Calgary Flames at Bridgestone Arena. Pregame at 6 o'clock, puck drop at 7 o'clock here on 1025-1063 the game. And the standings are as follows in Preds Pick to Click. Some movement last time out. Both Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic on the board last time out. So the standings are as follows. Myself and the listeners tied in first place with 10 correct answers apiece. Joe Rexroad moving up to 9 correct answers, so one spot behind us. Michelle moving up to 7 correct answers, so a tight competition as we head into not only a busy week for the Predators, but a busy week for the Preds Pick to Click competition as well. So looking forward to that. With that in mind, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Terry. Terry, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
Robbie, I got to go with Joe's favorite, Mr. Forsberg, Mr. Sweden himself.
I love it. Philip Forsberg, the selection. Terry, thanks for calling in. So Forsberg is off the board. Michelle Knezovic, you were up first today in the competition. No Philip Forsberg, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
That's a shame.
Of course, I know on the phone I knew it was first today. And I'm like, who are you picking, Terry? And he's like, Forsberg. I'm like, of course you are. I'm going to go with, I've been going with the young guys lately. I'm going to go with Tommy Novak.
Tommy Novak, the selection from Michelle Knezovic. So that leaves me up next. Forsberg and Novak are off the board. I'm going to go with Nino Niederreiter tonight.
Stole my
pick. I'm going with Niederreiter. I think it's going to be a grimy type of game tonight. Get around the front of the net, good things will happen, so I'll go Niederreiter. Forsberg, Novak, and Niederreiter off the board. Joe Rexroad, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Do I do this or not?
I don't know.
I was going to go Nino, but that's off the board. At some point, Tanner Janot is going to score another goal.
He's been very close lately.
He's been very close. He's been on the doorstep. And to the point you just made there, this is maybe the kind of game where you just make your presence known on that blue ice and pop one in. I'll go Matt Duchene. I thought about it, though.
That was a lot of buildup for just completely going the other way. I like it. So Forsberg, Novak, Niederreiter, and Duchene, these selections in Preds Pick the Glick, presented by T.J. Anderson Holmes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. And the Predators, you thought, Joe, maybe gaining some traction in the standings. They went through the stretch last week where you go on the road, you beat Carolina, you beat Washington, you beat Ottawa, and things are looking good. And then all of a sudden, you lose what I thought was a well-played game against Toronto. I didn't think they were very good against Montreal. You lost that game. And then you lose 5-3 at home on Saturday night against Buffalo. So after the three-game winning streak to begin last road trip, you've now lost three in a row, and you got a huge one tonight against Calgary.
And Buffalo, much improved team, kind of a fun young team, some talent. And they counterattacked the Preds and made them pay for some missed opportunities they had. Saros also let one in that, like, you haven't seen it.
Yep.
You know? But it's just disappointing. And they're just staying in this couple steps, then a couple steps the other way, and gotta really string stuff together if you want to get yourself in a good position.
Well, you had gotten to the point after, I think it was after you beat Ottawa last week, where you were 1 point out of a playoff spot. And now you look at the standings and you're 7 points back. And that's what happened when you lose three in a row. I mean, other teams win around you. And I realize both Calgary and Edmonton have games in hand on you. Number one, that's what makes tonight's game so big, is Calgary's right there in the wild card race at 51 points. You're 7 points back of them. You've got two games in hand on them. If you can win tonight, that's going to help you a lot in that discussion. But you got yourself to a point where you're right on the doorstep of a playoff spot, and now you've kind of slipped back below the line and back into the fold with this three-game losing streak.
Yeah, so you really need to win.
You do.
You really need to win hockey games, starting with this one. And you got a couple here at home, back-to-back. Got to win them both. I'm assuming Saros back out, and then the Lankinen tomorrow against Columbus.
That would be my guess.
And I think you got to have your best foot forward, in particular against the better team that you are absolutely battling for a spot.
I would think so. I think you'll see Saros tonight, and I think you'll see Saros Thursday for sure against St. Louis, Saturday against L.A. Like Lankinen will get tomorrow would be my guess. But you've got, let's see here, six more games before the All-Star break. Five of them are at home. Like, you got to find a way to get points out of those. Like, you've got to win. You need to win four out of the five at home, at least. Like, you got to find, at some point, you got to get yourself back into the mix here in the playoffs. Like, you got the games in hand. That's getting ready to end for the Predators because they got a whole lot of games coming up. Remember, this Columbus game is a makeup game from when the water main busted. So you're about to get back to even in terms of games played here coming up. You got to start to win some of these games. And you had an opportunity Saturday night at home against the Buffalo team, which, as you said, they're better and they're entertaining. And they've got a couple of guys, namely Tage Thompson, out there that's just been unbelievable this year. But that's a game you need to win at home, and you couldn't get it done. You need to win tonight. Like, if you lose tonight, all of a sudden Calgary's nine up on you, and you start to look up and say, are you ever going to be able to gain enough traction to get yourself back in a playoff spot?
Like, if you looked at those, so before the All-Star break, 12 possible points. I mean, I think you got to get like 8, 9 of them.
Yeah.
You know? Like nine of the 12 points right around there. You got to be able to accelerate yourself. Which, again, it looked like you were doing, and then you go back the other way.
Well, and then you've got, I mean, the Calgary game tonight's the perfect example of it, but even Saturday, like, you've got a game against L.A. at home. Thursday, St. Louis is on the road. I mean, that's a team right now that's 1 point ahead of you in the standings. Like, a lot of these games that you're playing this week are against teams that are right there with you in the standings. And you win those games, all of a sudden the picture starts to look a little bit different. If you lose, you could find yourself in a really bad spot heading into the All-Star break.
Yeah. The big picture is still like, I mean, this team is, you know, it's hoping to be on, it's a fringe playoff team, hoping to sneak its way in,
yep.
Right? Which is still not what was expected going into the season. And I think we've seen enough now. 42 games, that means 40 left. But I think we've seen enough now to not expect anything different.
I would agree.
Which is disappointing.
It's very disappointing. I mean, this is what you're trying to avoid. I mean, I get it. There's still a chance they can make the playoffs. And they very well end up making the playoffs. I don't know. But I expected more from this team this year. And so far, they've not delivered on that. And like you said, they can't gain any traction. You think they are, and you win four in a row, and then all of a sudden you've lost three in a row, and you're pretty much right back in the same spot that you were this time 3 weeks ago. It's really difficult to generate any momentum that way when, you know, I think John Hines put it well on Saturday night. You're taking two steps forward, then you take another step back. And it kind of feels like it's been two steps forward, two steps back all year long for this team. And right now they're in a hole. So we'll see if they can get it done tonight against Calgary. And then they're right back at it tomorrow night at home against Columbus as well. So lots of hockey this week for the Nashville Predators. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase and Michelle is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.